The Inaccessible Poem, Simon Starling alla Fondazione Merz. Audio preview.
Turin has been a very kind of productive place for me to work the last 10 years or so since I started working with the gallery here, Franco Nuero. And there's various kind of local stories, local characters that have played a part in works that I've developed here. So as you said, Molino, who, you know, is a very particular Turin character, kind of appears in a couple of the works, and also made a work very specifically in relation to the what's known as the Fetta di Polenta, this strange slice of a building that Antonelli built here from the remains of a kind of semi-demolished building, and which is now the gallery. I like Turin very much because it's a place where people are still making things, which is quite rare in contemporary cities, actually. And there's a sort of degree of, you know, there's still craftsmen sort of working in back courtyards in the city, and a lot of sort of specialists. And it's been very kind of inspiring and productive, a kind of a palette of material and processes and techniques and stories as well, which has sort of fed into my work a lot. And Mario Merz, I suppose, is, he's an artist who I've known since studying back in the 80s, I suppose, but the group of artists that he sort of very much became part of, the Arti Povera artists, have always sort of been kind of pretty intriguing, but I've never had any sort of real direct kind of contact with his work professionally. But yeah, so it was nice to kind of get this opportunity to sort of rethink his work in a way and sort of try and establish a sense of a sort of relationship between him and my own practice. I mean, they're very different art practices, I would say. They're very much marked by a different sort of generation gap somehow. But at the same time, I think there's some sort of resonances, some sort of approaches. He was somebody who often, he sort of, like myself, very much responded to particular sites, to particular architecture, kind of working on the hoof very much. I mean, it was a studio-based practice in some sense, but it was also very, very sort of responsive. That I find kind of interesting. I mean, I suppose the studio as a place of production has never been so important to me. It's more of a kind of place of coordination and planning and thinking. And a lot of the work gets made sort of in the real world, so to say. So from that point of view, I've sort of found that relationship interesting. Also his kind of, I suppose, his relationship to technology, his sort of, and science is something that intrigued me about him as well. I mean, he approached that in a very sort of poetic fashion somehow, which perhaps is a little different to my own approach, but his questioning, his sort of skepticism of technology and this kind of urges us in a way to allow sort of contemporary art practice to sort of always be in a way sort of a little bit resistant to technology, to be constantly sort of questioning its influence. And I think that's one of the things that I tried to pick up on in the exhibition. What I've tried to do in the exhibition is to sort of in a way look at this kind of space between a kind of conception of an idea and its realization, and the sorts of slippages that can occur in that space, how that slippage becomes a sort of creative force or something in the making of the work.